This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening. As always, to keep tabs on the podcast and the new episodes we have, definitely go sign up at reallifepharmacology.com. In addition to getting those updates when we've got new content, I've also got a free 31-page PDF. It's a great little study guide refresher on the top 200 drugs. Great for anybody that's works with medications, works with patients, or is in school taking exams and trying to pass their board. So again, definitely go check that out, subscribe, and get that absolutely free there. All right, so the drug of the day is baclofen. Brand name of this medication is Liorazol. I can't say I see that brand name used terribly often, but I have seen it come across it a couple of times. This medication is used primarily for muscle spasms and spasticity associated with various muscle disorders. Off-label uses, there are some reported off-label uses such as alcohol use disorder, hiccups as well. Me personally, I have not seen baclofen used in those off-label settings, but I did want to mention them at least. By far, in clinical practice, I see the medication used for spasms or spasticity. Mechanistically, this actually works by blocking reflexes at the spinal cord level, so kind of in that central nervous system area. And it's likely due to hyperpolarization of neuronal cells or neuronal endings, and that ultimately leads to a relaxation of muscles, which obviously helps spasms and spasticity in general. All right, so when I think of baclofen, one of the things that I hear a lot, or that I've seen patients be on quite a bit, is baclofen pumps. So this is one kind of unique thing where we do actually intrathecal delivery of the drug. Now, this is one of the few boxed warnings with this medication, or excuse me, one of the only boxed warnings with baclofen, and it's because of the risk of symptoms due to abrupt discontinuation. Okay, so if we abruptly stop this medication, we can have a significant reaction because of this. Okay, so symptoms that are going to result because of abrupt discontinuation include, you know, fever, increase in muscle rigidity, spasticity. Obviously, that makes a lot of sense. But we can also have CNS changes, mental changes, cognition changes. And if it's severe enough, it has led to a rhabdomyolysis-type situation and death as well. So when I think of, you know, the potential abrupt discontinuation reaction with baclofen, it definitely mimics some of the symptoms with neuroleptic malignant syndrome. If you remember, I talked about that in previous antipsychotic podcasts. So again, fever, rebound spasticity, muscle rigidity, and ultimately risk of rhabdomyolysis and death if severe enough. So again, we've got that boxed warning on abrupt discontinuation. So as a healthcare professional, what I think about here is I really want to make sure that that pump is working correctly, that we're getting medication to that patient on time, we're refilling that medication on time, and make sure that the individual responsible for filling that pump and making sure that the patient has medication has appropriate education and training about some of these risks. So definitely, I think, some important questions to kind of ask and assess and tease out from the patient or caregiver, whoever is managing that pump, just to make sure they're up to speed with some of the risks if the patient doesn't get their dose. Also wanted to mention, so this is true of oral. Typically, you know, with the intrathecal pump, we think of, you know, continuous delivery and that type of thing, and potentially, you know, more aggressive dosing or patients needing a higher dose. So it going directly to the central nervous system. But this syndrome with abrupt discontinuation, we can have symptoms from stopping the oral medication as well. And obviously, as you escalate doses, it's probably a riskier situation than somebody that's, you know, just taking one a day at a very low dose, like 5 milligrams or something. So definitely important to think about if we're on the oral agent, patients have been on it for a long time, they're on high doses, and we'd really like to start to try to get them off of that. You're probably looking at a period of weeks as far as trying to slowly taper that dose down and get them off that medication. All right, so that's kind of adverse effects when the drug is stopped. So let's talk about adverse effects when the drug is actually started. And as you can probably imagine, with any skeletal muscle relaxant, CNS changes are going to be the most problematic and most often sedation. These are generally dose-dependent effects. The higher the dose, the more likely you're going to encounter adverse effects. Sedation, confusion, dizziness, definitely all can happen with baclofen, and certainly something I have seen in clinical practice. GI upset, nausea and vomiting can happen. Possibility to reduce blood pressure, so you may want to think about that in patients on blood pressure medications, or they've got a history of orthostasis. Rarely you may see issues with urinary retention, and it's probably going to show up in patients who have like a history of BPH, for example. Also, with the intrathecal administration, there is the potential of creating an intrathecal mass right where the catheter implantation is. So right where that drug is coming out of the pump. So with that, if you kind of create this mass, you can imagine that might impair or alter the absorption of the drug. And so what you may see from a patient perspective is maybe they've been stable for quite a while, they're doing well at their current dose, we're having good success. And if you see those benefits start to wane over time, that may be a situation where you want to think about this intrathecal mass development, where we're not getting the adequate absorption or appropriate absorption that we used to get there. All right, so let's talk pharmacokinetics briefly before I get into drug interactions. Pharmacokinetics, oral and intrathecal, both pretty well absorbed. You know, obviously intrathecal is being delivered right to the site, but oral bioavailability is pretty high. It's definitely significantly above 50% anyway. Also advantageous for oral administration is it has a quick, relatively quick onset, so you can use it as needed. The onset of action is in the ballpark of 30 to 60 minutes. So that's a nice thing as far as getting our patients relief quickly there. Also, of course, I wanted to mention renal function. So this drug is primarily eliminated, unchanged drug, through the kidney. So if that's the case, obviously, if that kidney function is poor, we're definitely going to be looking at a situation where that drug can accumulate. Less than 30 mils per minute, we're generally going to avoid the use of baclofen if at all possible. And, you know, if we get into the, you know, 40s and 50s range, you know, maybe 50s and 60s, we're going to have probably varying dose adjustments, or we're going to at least want to monitor that patient for increased risk of toxicity if that renal function has declined from where they were previously at. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and I'll finish up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, like pharmacotherapy, geriatrics, ambulatory care, medication therapy management, or the NAPLEX, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. In addition, I've got a list of Audible books that you can get for free. You can get one book for free from Audible if you've never tried Audible before as well. So again, I've got links to all that. I've got Amazon books as well on case studies, clinical pearls, drug interactions, food-drug interactions, all sorts of unique resources that I have put together over the years. And you can find all those at meded101.com/store. And that certainly helps us keep this podcast free and educational for all to enjoy. So thank you all for the support at meded101.com/store. All right, so let's finish up on drug interactions. So with a lot of medications, we worry about liver enzymes and drug interactions that way. Think of the CYP enzyme system, whether it's 3A4 or 1A2. Well, we typically get to avoid that with baclofen. So that is generally very, very nice not to have to worry about some of those interactions. And if you think about it, that makes sense. Remember what I talked about with renal function. The drug is primarily eliminated through the kidney. So while we've got to worry about kidney function and accumulation with renal function changes, we don't need to worry typically as much about CYP enzymes. So that is definitely a nice thing. By far, probably the most common interaction you're going to run across is CNS depressants. So really the additive type effects. Baclofen can be very sedating, again, kind of a dose-dependent effect. And other medications in combination with baclofen can add to that effect. Alcohol, benzodiazepines, opioids, Z-drugs like Zolpidem, anticholinergic, antihistamine-type drugs like hydroxyzine or diphenhydramine, all these medications can definitely have additive, sedative, and potentially CNS-changing effects, confusion, dizziness, all those type of things. So definitely look out for that and look out for those additive-type effects. The other thing that I do think about briefly is the blood pressure lowering effect. I would say it's not typically huge with baclofen, but if you've got a patient, you know, particularly maybe an elderly patient that's sensitive to lower blood pressure, or they're on multiple blood pressure lowering medications, that's a situation where baclofen could provide some additive blood pressure lowering effects and potentially increase that risk for dizziness. So important to keep an eye on that. I think that's going to wrap it up for today. I hit the highlights there. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you picked up a few practice pearls regarding baclofen. If you enjoyed the podcast, leave a rating, review on iTunes or whatever your platform you're listening on. I'm greatly appreciative to those of you who have taken the time to do that. It helps keep me going, as well as it helps my rankings in all the different podcast platforms. So again, thank you all very, very much there. Also, share us with a friend, colleague, a student you're working with, anyone that needs to learn more or could always learn more about medications and medication management. If you'd like to reach out to me, comments, questions, definitely track me down, mededucation101@gmail.com, or you can track me down at LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCGP, BCPS. I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Thank you for listening. Take care. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.